for the Word? How many of you are ready for the Word, right? Did you notice I didn't say, are you ready for a movie? I said, are you ready for the Word? We preach the Word. Amen? How many of you love the Word of God? Can we give God a big praise for the Word of God today? Amen? Amen. How many of you are ready for some popcorn? They're going to bring that to you in a little while, some popcorn and some water. If you don't want any, just tell them, no, I don't care for any. If you want more, I don't know about that. Just tell them you want a little more, all right? But anyway, we're going to begin this series of messages that I've called God at the Movies. This is my third time to do a series like this. And before we begin, I want to give some disclaimers and some biblical reasons why I think these messages are important. The first thing I want to say is that these messages are not going to be gospel light. How many of you know what I'm talking about? This is, we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In no way will we compromise the Word as we look at this. But what we're going to do, as I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to use these movies for illustrative purposes. In fact, a couple of these messages are going to be extremely theologically challenging, and so we want you, to just hold on and receive from that. And also, the second thing I would like to say is that what we're doing today is really, we are following along in the great tradition left by Paul the Apostle by using movies as illustrations. I know you're probably thinking, well, how is that? Well, let me tell you how it is. Paul quoted a poet in the theater of his day. In the book of Acts chapter 17, we find the Paul the Apostle in Athens, right? And he's giving a sermon. He's giving a message. He's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of that, Acts 17 and 28, listen to what he says. He says, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, for we also are his offspring." So actually, if you do a little research there, you'll discover that Paul was quoting from a Greek poet by the name of Aratus, and the line that he was quoting, actually, the poet was not referring to Jehovah God, he was actually referring to Zeus. How many of you know Zeus is not a god at all? Hello? Come on. God is God. Am I right? And so let me just say that it's, as we look at this movie today of Black Panther, and you might hear a mention of a god in Black Panther, we would tell you that that's a god with a little g that is no god at all. Am I right? Amen. So what we're going to do is we are going to look at this movie, and we're going to discover that this the authors of this movie, actually, they're asking a question to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A powerful question indeed. They are asking the question, how does the kingdom of God, in other words, how does the church relate to the world in which we live? And maybe you didn't see that in the movie, but as you look at these few brief little clips we're going to play today, I'm sure that you're going to see that, all right? So let me just, as we begin today, let me give you a brief theology, okay, if I could share that. That means study of God, a brief theology of Christians and the kingdom. And first of all today, I want to declare loud and strong that Jesus Christ is the King. Am I right? Come on, how many of you believe He's the King? In fact, I'm going to tell you this. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Every single knee that ever has existed will bow before Him and recognize Him. In fact, Revelation 19 and verse 6 tells us exactly who He is, identifies Him. It says this, "And He has on His vesture, on His clothing, and on His thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords." Now, as we look at the story of the King of Wakanda, we know that's fiction, right? This isn't true. This is somebody made this up in a comic book in 1965, all right? This is about Marvel and Hollywood. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the true King, right? He is the true King. Now, how many of you have seen the movie Black Panther? Oh, not very many of you. Well, you need to. It's a great, great movie, all right? But let me just say this. There is an embedded message in this movie that is absolutely amazing. You see, Hollywood has to search for a hero. They have to find something that this hero can do. And how amazing is it that the king, by the way, who becomes Black Panther in the movie, the king actually died, was buried, and raised again. Isn't that? Does that sound a little bit familiar to anybody? Amen. They had to make a hero out of this king. But how many of you know that he is no king at all? He's a fiction of someone's imagination. But Jesus Christ actually did die, was buried, and raised again on the third day. Can we give him a big hand of praise today? Come on. Amen. And we also know that you and I are part of the kingdom of God, and we've had to leave the kingdom of darkness, right? Colossians 1:13 tells us this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Is there anybody in this house who would say, I'm just so grateful that God took me out of the kingdom of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son? Amen. We are so appreciative of that. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus, this is what Jesus taught us to pray as we pray the model prayer, right? What did He say? He said, Your kingdom come, in Matthew 6:10, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if we're part of the kingdom of God, if Jesus is our King, we are supposed to be asking for the kingdom to come. And if we're citizens of the kingdom, we've got to understand that you and I, our lives have been enriched in many, many different ways. For those of you who've seen the movie, and you're going to see this in a moment, you're going to see that Wakanda is a country, an African country that is rich in is a rich kingdom, and they're rich in technology and resources, and that gives them power. But how many of you know that the kingdom of God is not of word, but of power? Come on. We live in a kingdom that has power. We have resources in the kingdom of God that can touch people's hearts. We have the word of God. Come on, do I have an amen? We have the power of the Spirit. We have all of God's wisdom available through the gifts of the Spirit. We have God's hand on what we do in this earth. We have an incorruptible inheritance laid up for us. And can I just put it in a way that we can understand today? In the kingdom of God, how many of you believe, since we have Jesus as the King, that we actually have the solution to world problems? Are you with us? And one day Jesus Christ is going to come back and He's going to solve the problems of the world. You say, well, Pastor, I need help. I'm addicted. Well, I've got good news, because in the kingdom there's power, because we have a King that has power, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You say, well, Pastor, I'm sick. Well, let me tell you, there's power in the kingdom. Amen? Because by His stripes we are healed. Well, you say, I'm bound to sin. I can't get free. Well, let me tell you something. The Lion of Judah is able to break every single chain. Are you with me? And you say, well, where is this kingdom at? If there's the kingdom of God, how's it work? Let me tell you where the kingdom of God is. It is within us. Am I right? That's what Luke 17:21 says. It says, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Where does Christ reign today? He reigns in the hearts and He reigns in the lives of those who are believers. All right. Are you following with me today? How many of you understand that I've given you a little brief kind of a synopsis of the kingdom of God? Now, what is interesting, now follow along with me. You're still with me today. What is interesting is that in the movie Black Panther, that is a movie about a kingdom on earth. Are you with me? That's a blessed kingdom. And this kingdom has, how should I put it? They have some of the answers to the world's problems. How many of you see the parallel? We are a kingdom on earth, right? And we are blessed beyond belief. And because of the King of Kings, we have all the answers to the world's problems. And the question we're looking at today is, how does the kingdom of God relate to the world? And this is actually one of the underlying currents in the movie. And I want to just say that it is a good, clean movie. There's no sexuality in it, but they're really asking a question of the church, I believe. How does the kingdom relate to the world? So let me just read you a synopsis, okay, of the movie. All right, follow along. After the death of his father, T'Challa returns home to the African nation of Wakanda to take his rightful place as king. when a powerful enemy suddenly reappears, T'Challa's mettle as king and as Black Panther gets tested when he's drawn into a conflict that puts the fate of Wakanda and the entire world at risk. Faced with treachery and danger, the young king must rally his allies and release the full power of Black Panther to defeat his foes and secure the safety of his people. Now, the good news is this today, that as the movie opens up, it opens up with a little opening story that describes the kingdom of Wakanda. And immediately in that opening story, you're going to hear, as it comes to a conclusion, you're going to hear them refer to the question at hand. So let's watch clip number one. All right, enjoy your popcorn. All right, here we go.
Baba?
Yes, my son?
Tell me a story.
Which one?
The story of home.
Millions of years ago, a meteorite made of vibranium, the strongest substance in the universe, struck the continent of Africa, affecting the plant life around it. And when the time of men came, five tribes settled on it and called it Wakanda. Tribes lived in constant war with each other until a warrior shaman received a vision from the panther goddess Bast, who led him to the heart-shaped herb, a plant that granted him superhuman strength, speed, and instincts. The warrior became king and the first Black Panther, the protector of Wakanda. Four tribes agreed to live under the king's rule, but the Jabari tribe isolated themselves in the mountains. The Wakandans used vibranium to develop technology more advanced than any other nation. But as Wakanda thrived, the world around it descended further into chaos. To keep vibranium safe, the Wakandans vowed to hide in plain sight, keeping the truth of their power from the outside world.
And we still hide, Baba?
Yes.
Why?
Okay, I like that last question. Are we still hiding? Why? How interesting that the world in a comic book and the world in a movie can say something like this. The world was descending into further and further chaos. How many of you know that's a description of our world today? We could even say that could be a biblical description of our world today. And yet here's this kingdom that has all of these resources, and what are they doing? They have the technology, they have the answers to some of the problems in the world, and what are they doing? They're hiding in plain sight. Now, you and I, we are part of a kingdom on earth. And I want to tell you, that kingdom is now. How many of you believe that? That kingdom is here. Jesus Christ is the head and the king of that kingdom. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most visible representation of that kingdom. But I wonder, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are we hiding in plain sight? Are we doing what the Wakandans did? And I want to give you, as we progress today, three ways that represent philosophies that the church has. Three ways that Christians and churches and people who are believers have related to the world down through history. And first of all, we're going to touch on this one, this idea of isolation. We hide in plain sight. I wonder today, are we content as Christians to stay right within our little Christian bubble? We have our Christian friends and our Christian movies, and our kids go to Christian schools, and sometimes we look at the world around us and it seems like it's deteriorating at such an incredibly rapid speed, and sin is everywhere and problems just seem so insurmountable. And so what we say to ourselves, the thing that we've got to do to protect ourselves from this evil outside world, is we've got to just kind of hide and we've got to kind of create our own little community. And I want you to know that there's a lot of believers in the world today who've given up on the world. It's true. They've given up on the world. They've given up on politics. They've given up on anything that can be done to help anyone. And so sometimes believers get so afraid, and let me just say, put it like this, of kind of getting contaminated out there in the world that they just kind of hide, right? They don't engage anyone. They don't know their neighbors. They don't go to lunch with coworkers. Yes, they'll be on the job, but they've kind of already made up their mind about the world. It's a terrible, sinful place, and we got to come to church and we kind of wave a little flag at Jesus and say, please God, come and rescue us as soon as possible. And our job is just to kind of huddle up and hope Jesus comes quickly and gets us off of this wretched world. But how many of you know that's not the way God wants us to live? There's a scripture that I think has been twisted, all right? And it's found in the book of James 1:27. I'm not going to read the whole scripture. Just the last phrase. It says, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, how many of you know that that's our heart's desire? Does anybody have that as your heart's desire? I don't want to be spotted by the world. I don't want to be painted dirty by the world. But let me tell you something. The Jesus that I serve is big enough that we can live in the world, but not partake of the world. Are you with me? We can be influencers in the world, but we don't have to partake of the world. And there's a lot of fear that people have, and they're kind of afraid to get out in the world. But how many of you know that God has called us to be salt and light? My brother Bruce, my brother-in-law Bruce, pastored a church in Nebraska, and there was a group of people in this church that I would just call them separatists, all right? They homeschooled their kids. They lived way out in the country on a farm, and they didn't want anybody to come and visit them ever, and they didn't even want their children to go to Sunday school with the other church kids, lest their children somehow get contaminated by the evil that's out there in the world. They thought, we've got to just protect our family from the evil. But let me tell you something. God never called us to live lives of safety. Come on. We are to be influencers in the world. We're to be salt. We're to be light. We're to be out there in the world. When we went to the mission field so many years ago, we told our kids that they were missionaries as well. And one of the things that actually my wife and I, we were criticized because of this, but we would let our children at that age, about 12 and 9, we would let them go to the park by themselves, and they had lots of friends that were Costa Ricans, and then later on in Colombia, Colombians, and some of the other missionaries thought, you shouldn't let your kids go to the park alone, because that's just too dangerous. Let me tell you something, I told my kids this, I said, listen, you're just as much of a missionary as I am. Come on, somebody. We're to win the world for Jesus Christ. Amen. But we're not the first group of people that ever, the Christians of today are not the first group of people that ever decided to live that way. Back in Jesus' day, there were the Essenes. How many have ever heard of them? The Essenes were those who actually hid the Dead Sea Scrolls. They were a group of people that lived out in the desert. They lived in a little community, a very Spartan type of a way. And their goal was to just keep away from the world, right? The monks of the Middle Ages, they spent many hours and days separated in big monasteries away from the peoples of the world. You can even go to places in the United States of America, and there's whole communities of people, the Amish or the Mennonites, who have entire societies that actually they're saying, listen, we're going to hide away from the world. But how many of you know we're not to go and hibernate away from the world? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Come on, somebody. How many of you believe it's our job to be out there and to touch the world for Jesus? Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. We're going to show another clip that kind of shows this attitude here today that's prevalent in the church. T'Challa, he's the king. He's the prince at this point, but he's about to be crowned king. He's in a conversation with his ex-girlfriend, and she has been what is known in the movie as a war dog. Okay, I didn't create these terms. Okay, but that's what it is in the movie. And war dogs in the movie were people that were sent out from Wakanda to secretly spy on and help the world. They were kind of like emissaries of good, or kind of like missionaries, observers of the world. And occasionally they might use their power of Wakanda, you know, to try to help somebody, but not so much as to ever attract attentions to oneself. And so the soon-to-be King T'Challa is in a conversation with his ex-girlfriend, and T'Challa represents this idea of isolation. Let's watch it today. Enjoy your popcorn.
Come home, Nakia.
I'm right here.
Stay.
I came to support you and to honor your father, but I can't stay. It's just I found my calling out there. I've seen too many in need just to turn a blind eye. I can't be happy here knowing that there's people out there who have nothing.
What would you have Wakanda do about it?
Share what we have. We could provide aid and access to technology and refuge to those who need it. Other countries do it. We could do it better.
You are not like these other countries, Nakia. If the world found out what we truly are, what we possess, we could lose our way of life.
Wakanda is strong enough to help others and protect ourselves at the same time.
If you are not so stubborn, you would make a great queen.
I would make a great queen because I am so stubborn.
Ah, if that's what I wanted.
That's him.
Glory to God. She's still growing.
Of course. I see Nakia is back. You guys going to work it out?
T'Challa.
What's wrong?
Nakia thinks we should be doing more.
More like what?
Foreign aid, refugee programs.
You let the refugees in, they bring their problems with them. And then Wakanda is like everywhere else. Now, if you said you wanted me and my men to go out there and clean up the world, then I'd be all for it.
But waging war on other countries has never been our way.
Wow. Okay. I say it's time for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to get outside of the four walls of the church. How interesting that the girlfriend said, I've been out there and I've seen what it's like. See, that's the problem with many believers in our world today. We've been saved so long, we've been a Christian so long, we forgot what it's like out there in the world. So you say, well, are you saying we need to go out and participate in sinful things? Of course not. But we're to go out and be world changers and life givers. Can we give the Lord Jesus a big hand today? Amen. Amen. So that's the first way, isolation. And how many know that's not the way for the kingdom of God? Am I right? And then there's a second way that many in the kingdom of God would like to relate to the world. And this view is not really too common here in America. You will find it, though, but it is certainly common. It was common in Latin America. It's common in some black African-American churches today, just on the very, very extremes. And that is this. That we should overthrow. We arm ourselves with physical weapons of war. Some of the strangest ideas have come out of scriptures and pulling them out of context and making a theology for them, right? Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12 is an interesting verse. It says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. But how many of you know that wasn't God, Jesus telling us that we're to pick up weapons and go and make people to convert to Christianity? Am I right? That's talking about prayer. That's talking about the spiritual nature of our life and of our walk with God. And how interesting about, you know, one of the greatest reformers ever was Martin Luther King. And I've listened to his speeches and I've read about his life. And what a powerful guy he was. But he was never one for picking up a weapon, right? He was for peaceful protest. Luke chapter 22 and verse 36 is also another interesting verse. It talks about, now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. What? Jesus telling people to go buy a sword? That's what he said. But I don't believe that was for arming, you know, the body of Christ. That's not what Jesus said. That might have been for personal protection. But if you remember, how many of you are with me today? If you remember when Jesus was carried on the day of his crucifixion before the authorities, he said these words. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. Otherwise, we would fight. My people would fight." If there was meant to be a physical fight, it should have began back there with Jesus. He would have said, yes, there's going to be a physical fight and they're coming. My disciples are, they've picked up swords and they're all ready to come and there's going to be a launch again to save and No. But that never happened, right? And how interesting that historians will tell you that many Christians, misinformed believers in the days of the Crusades, they did exactly that. They armed themselves with swords and they went up against peoples and nations and they tried to conquer Jerusalem. And their thinking was like this, you know, I'm part of the kingdom of God and so I've got to go conquer in Jesus' names and we're going to fight for God. And anyone who doesn't believe, we're going to destroy them. And so we have to look back and ask ourselves, how did that work for the Christian faith? How many of you know it didn't work very well at all? Amen. It didn't work well at all. It's kind of a stain on our history. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because God never called us to that. Am I right? God never called us to that. Jesus said, they will know that we're his disciples if what? If we got lots of cool weapons? No. They'll know that we're his disciples if we have what? Love one for another. The way to share the kingdom of God is not through force, but rather it is through love. Amen. Love conquers all. Caring makes a difference. Come on. Sharing the good news with others is the answer. Come on. Give the Lord a hand of praise today. We're going to take a look at another clip that shows this philosophy relating to the world. But it's interesting that even the title of this movie is called Black Panther. Because those of you who've been around a long time, you may recall that though if you've studied history, you know that there was a movement called the Black Panthers, right? It was founded in 1966 by Bobby Seale and Huey Newton. And the Black Panther movement was part of the Black Liberation Movement. And interestingly enough, the opening scene of the movie Black Panther finds itself, of all places, in Oakland, California. You say, well, why is that significant? Because that's where the Black Panther movement began, was in Oakland, California. Here's an interesting fact as well, that the comic book called Black Panther, upon which this movie was based, it came out just a few months, before the Black Panther movement actually rose up. And so let's just get to a clip, and you'll be able to see that the movie stresses this tension of going towards violence in order to be liberated. And this is what we see happening in some places in our world. So let me just kind of give you fill you in on the clip here today. The prince who becomes King T'Challa has an uncle, okay? And the prince's uncle was sent to Oakland as one of these war dogs, these missionaries, emissaries, spy type people. And they're supposed to be observing and kind of helping, but he winds up falling in love and having a child there. And this child grows up to be the antagonist in the film. And he becomes the one who is trying to arm all the world so that they can overthrow oppression. But the King T'Challa's father kept all of that a secret. So here's the scene today. How many of you are with me today? Enjoy your popcorn. You're probably all gone by now.
So your mission did not go as planned.
What happened to my uncle, Njobo? My father told me he disappeared. There was a man today wearing a ring identical to this one.
That is not possible.
He helped Crow escape from us and he was wearing this ring, my grandfather's ring. Do not tell me what is possible. Tell me the truth.
Some truths are too much to bear, Ichala.
That is not your choice to make. What happened to him?
I promised the king to say nothing.
I am your king now!
Your uncle took a war dog assignment in America. Your father placed me there to observe. Unbeknownst to him, your uncle fell in love with
an American woman. They had a child. The hardships he saw there radicalized your uncle.
I observed for as long as I could. The leaders have been assassinated. Communities flooded with drugs and weapons. They are overly policed and incarcerated. All over the planet, our people suffer because they don't have the tools to fight back. With vibranium weapons, they could overthrow every country and Wakanda could rule them all the right way.
He knew your father would not support this. So, your uncle betrayed us.
No.
He helped Claw steal the vibranium.
No. You will return home at once, or you will face the council and inform them of your crimes.
Wow. How many of you see that way of reacting, right? That way of reacting that says, hey, you know, we've got to do something about it. They've been out in the world. He saw the difficulties, the heartaches, the sorrows in the world. And he said, listen, we've got to do something about that. And the only way to do something about that is through violence. How many of you know that is simply not the truth? Is there anybody here today that believes that prayer changes things? Is there anybody that believes that God is able to do great and mighty things? Many years ago, we had a man here from Uganda. And his name was Jackson Senyonga. He wasn't in our church, but we went to see him in another church. And he talked about how the difficulty it was under the reign of Idi Amin, who was a horrendous dictator. The persecution against Christians was incredible in that country. But what they did in Uganda is what the church needs to do in the world today. Come on. Instead of picking up arms and fighting against the armies of that day, the Christians went out into the bush, out into the jungle, and they would spend sometimes all day out there in prayer, all day seeking God, all day crying out for their country. And how many of you know there came a day when Idi Amin was overthrown and liberation came, but it was at the hand of Almighty God? Come on, somebody. Do you believe in prayer? Do you believe that God is the answer? Come on. I believe that with all my heart today. Amen. How do we relate to the world then? We can't hide our light underneath a bushel. We can't be salt that ceases to be salty. No, sir. We've got to engage the world. And that leads me to my third and final point today. Engagement. We've got to share the power and the blessing of the kingdom. Is there anybody that believes that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the best news the world has ever heard? Does anybody believe that sharing Jesus is the biggest gift that you can give anybody on the face of the planet? I believe that with all of my heart today. Amen. And so we've got to engage the world. We've got to share the power and the blessing of the kingdom wherever we are at. Of all of the clips that I played. This final one is my favorite clip, all right? And so it's the end of the movie, and T'Challa the king has made up his mind. He's not going to follow the isolationist policies of his father, but rather he's going to radically engage the world. They're going to share the blessings that they have with the world, and I believe that that's what the church needs to do as well. Would you watch this final clip today?
When you said you would take me to California for the first time, I thought you meant Coachella, for Disneyland. Why here?
This is where our father killed our uncle.
They're tearing it down. Good.
They are not tearing it down. I bought this building. And that building. And that one over there. This will be the first Wakandan International Outreach Center. Nakia will oversee the social outreach. You will spearhead the science and information exchange.
You're kidding.
Eh?
Oh my God.
Man, what the hell was that?
That's like a Bugatti spaceship.
Oh, it came out of nowhere. Did y'all see that?
We can break it apart, we can sell it on eBay.
I wouldn't do that if I were you guys.
Where you call from?
From Wakanda.
What is in Wakanda?
Hey, yo! Is this yours? Who are you?
My name is King T'Challa, son of King T'Chaka. I am the sovereign ruler of the nation of Wakanda. And for the first time in our history, we will be sharing our knowledge and resources with the outside world. Wakanda will no longer watch from the shadows. We cannot. We must not. We will work to be an example of how we as brothers and sisters on this earth should treat each other. Now more than ever, the illusions of division threaten our very existence. We all know the truth. More connects us than separates us. But in times of crisis, the wise build bridges, while the foolish build barriers. We must find a way to look after one another as if we were one single tribe.
Amen. I like that scene, don't you? I've got a question. How many of you saw what was in the background there in Oakland? What was in the background of the picture? A church was in the background. There they are in Oakland. And I think, and there's a church in the background. And then they ask the guy, who are you? Who are you? And that's what the world is asking to us today. Amen. They see our church in the background and they're asking us, who are you? I'm going to tell you who we are today. We're those that God has commissioned with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're those who have the good news of the gospel. We're those who have the power of the Holy Spirit. We're those who can stand up and claim the promise that these signs will follow them who believe, that we shall pick up serpents. Amen. We shall lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. Amen. In the name of Jesus, demons have to depart. Come on. We can go and we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the answer to the world. And I just see, when I saw that for the first time, and I saw that clip in the back, and I saw that church in the back there, it was to me like the all of Hollywood and all of Marvel Comics and all of the movie industry was saying to the Church of Jesus Christ, they were saying, hey, listen, Oakland is still hurting. Oakland still has problems. And I believe that there's a cry in the heart, even in our culture, that they're saying, if you have the answers, if you have the ability to help, if you have the truth that we need, if you can help our hurting, if you can bring light into the darkness, if you can have love that's needed to heal the brokenness of our cities, if you can even go to a place like Oakland, California, amen, or the inner city of any mega city in our world today, then that's what the Church of Jesus Christ needs to do. Come on, it's almost as though they're begging the church to do something. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful to be a part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Is there anybody that's proud to be a part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm proud to be a part of the army of the Lord. And you know, it's not just that Fountain of Life Christian Center has been, you know, given the responsibility to reach the entire world. How many of you know we can't do that? Am I right? We're not big enough, strong enough, have enough influence to do all of that. But I'm talking about the church universal. Amen. They're everywhere in our world. Come on. You can scarcely find a country of the world where there are not some believers. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, those believers who have a heart after God are busy for God, right? They're busy for God. They're doing for Him. They're holding women's conferences. Come on. An amen from the ladies today. Amen. They're holding CR somewhere. Celebrate Recovery. Come on. They're doing things. Amen. And I'm grateful to be a part of supporting missionaries around the world. There's a great ministry called Teen Challenge. Many of you have heard of it. Amen. And then hundreds of thousands of people have come through that ministry and have found freedom from drug abuse and alcohol abuse. Amen. Anywhere where there's hungry children in the world, I want you to hear this today, where there's hunger, most generally, it's believers in Jesus Christ who show up. Amen. With convoys and truckloads full of food and supplies. Amen. It's Christians who down across centuries have taken care of orphanages. Why is it that they call even the hospitals in our very city that you and I live in, why do they call that Methodist and St. Luke's? Come on, can we just give a hand of praise for all of God's people everywhere who serve the Lord in many, many different ways? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm grateful for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful that I can be a part of ministries. Oh, no, I don't have the biggest ministry in the world. But let me tell you something. This is one preacher today that I'm doing everything that I know how to do, amen, to touch the world with the good news about Jesus. You say, well, what do we need to do? Let me give you a couple of action points before we come to the Lord. The first thing is, believers have to make the kingdom your first priority. Amen? The first priority. The kingdom ought to be our first thing that we think about. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, you've heard me preach it many times. It says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. What is your priority in living? A lot of people live their life and they say they espouse to Christian values. They espouse to say, yes, Jesus is number one, but actually, is He number one? Are they on their work when they're at work? Are they actually working for the Lord at their work? Or are they just simply earning a paycheck? How many of you are with me today? Amen. We've got to put Jesus first in our life. And so today, as we've looked at this aspect of the kingdom of God and its reign in the world today, what I'm saying is that we've got to make the kingdom of God our priority. Let's make Bible reading more important than TV watching. Come on. Let's make prayer more important than listening to music. Let's make fellowshipping with other believers more important than the chess club. Hello? Let's make our relationship with the King stronger by spending more time with Him. Let's take our finances and say, God, Your kingdom is first. Amen. Got quiet in here, but that's all right. Amen. And then everyone's got to take their place in the fight. Am I right? In the kingdom of Wakanda, as you saw there in that last clip, there's the king giving his assignment to his sister, saying, you're going to open up the science part of our outreach here. How interesting. And so the question is, do you know what your assignment is in the kingdom? What's God calling you to do? Hello? Do you know what God's purpose is for you in this life? How are you supposed to be serving? This is a call to service. What is your assignment? Is it working with children? Is it pioneering an outreach? Is it being a part of Celebrate Recovery? At the least, it should be taking some flyers and inviting all the women, you know, to the women's conference. Amen? It should be taking some flyers and saying, look, why don't you come to our church? We're having a great big day called One Big Party. Come on. Amen. And I just love that. And let me tell you something. The power of the kingdom is really found as well when we seek God in prayer. There was another clip I almost used in the movie. From the movie, if you see it. They're having a great big battle scene. You know, it's an action movie, right? The good guys against the bad guys. How many of you are still with me? Hold on, we're almost done. The good guys against the bad guys. And all of a sudden, one of the warriors, I think it was a lady from Wakanda, comes in and she does some stuff. And I mean, it's like the battle automatically just turns. And one of them says, well, where have you been? You know, why weren't you here earlier? Amen? And so let me tell you something. God is looking for the prayer warriors to jump in and believe God. God is worship looking for the worship warriors, amen, to be in the house of the Lord and worship God completely. And I'm going to tell you something. When people take their place, there's going to be others in the kingdom of God that will see that the battle is turning, that the things are starting to happen, and they're going to say, where have you been? Come on, somebody. Let's serve like never before. Let's pray like never before. Let's find our place in the battle like never before. And then the last little point here is this. We need to take the good news and the blessing of the kingdom wherever you go. Right? You don't have to just do it on some special outreach of the church. Wherever you're at, that's where the kingdom is. When you're at work, that's where the kingdom is, right? Because the kingdom of God is within us. Amen. You are Christ's ambassador. You are a representative of the kingdom of God wherever you go. When you're in Walmart, you're a representative of the kingdom. Come on. When that person is taking that incredibly slow right turn in front of you, come on. You're still a representative of the kingdom of God. Amen. If you're at home, you're a representative of the kingdom of God. Wherever you're at, you are Christ's ambassador, and you have the kingdom with you, and you have all the power of the kingdom with you as well. So let's just go out there and tell our world, Jesus Christ is King. He's the Lord of Lords. He's able to do great and mighty things. Would you stand with me today? Thank you so very much today. Amen. I know I preached a little longer than usual, but you guys got 11 minutes, believe it or not, of the Black Panther movie. Listen, I want to invite you back next week. It's going to be the best of the Force 4, I believe. The movie Wonder. If you've never seen it, it is a great kids movie. You need to see it. It's awesome. The movie Wonder. Amen. We're going to be talking about that movie and showing some clips out of that movie next Sunday. All right? So come back and be with us. How many of you just want to pray today? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You just want the Lord to come. You just want God's grace to come. You just want to see the kingdom expanded. You just want to see the glory come. You just want to see God get all the honor that's due His name. Amen. Amen. Here's what I'd like to do today. I'd like for those of you who are part of our church today, if you feel comfortable in doing so, I'd like you just to step out from where you're at. Would you come down to the front today? And as we gather here, we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God would empower us by the power of His Holy Spirit. You know, I thought of a really corny point I could have preached from the movie. They had vibranium, we have the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something, the Holy Spirit is nothing to be compared to the vibranium. Hello? The Holy Spirit is God. He is the power of God. He is God Himself. And let me tell you something, the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to make a difference in your world. Am I right? How many of you want to just, I want to just be a kingdom representative in my world. I want to show God wherever I go. Amen. Then you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Can we just lift our hearts to the Lord today? Amen. I want you to pray that God would empower you to impact your world. All right? Impact your world, where you live, the school you attend, the place where you work, the place where you do business, the people that you know, the ones in your neighborhood, the ones that work in your office. Ask God to empower you.